We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All systems are go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van
Vliet! Welcome back to another audio adventure on Insight. I'm Chris Van Vliet. So good to have you with us for not just an in-person interview, but an in-person interview with a crowd. We did this about a week and a half ago at the Independent Wrestling Expo in Fort Worth, Texas. Huge thanks to them for bringing me in and for hosting this conversation with me and Carlito. We talk about everything. We talk about his recent return to WWE and, of course, everything that led up to that and just everything in his career as a whole. And you'll probably notice, this interview sounds a little bit different than usual. We were plugged into the soundboard, so definitely has a different feel than our usual conversations. This is so everybody in attendance could hear this. It's also a Q&A at the end from some of the fans in attendance, so make sure to stick around to hear that. You can follow Carlito on Instagram and Twitter. He's at Lito Cologne 279. That's LitoColon 279, and I'm at Chris Van Vliet. Speaking of following, speaking of subscribing, if you don't already, can I ask you to hit subscribe or follow on whatever platform it is that you're listening on right now? That'd be so great. Let's dive right into this. Try to keep those intros as short as we can. So please welcome with a crowd, Carlito.
Well, you certainly didn't come here to see me talk. So let's bring in our special guest for this episode, for this live podcast of Insight with Chris Van Vliet. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Carlito. We've got a little bit of a chant there, a little Carlito chant. I like that.
That's nice, about four people, but, you know. Still nice to hear you, Dave.
I love this shirt. I have the same one. Paying respect to Shad.
Yeah, give it up for Shad.
Yeah, that's great. How have you been?
So far, so good. No complaints.
It's been a heck of a year for you.
It's, you know, considering everything, it hasn't been a bad year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you started off the year in WWE. That's pretty good.
It was nice to go back to my old playground for a bit.
How much, time did you get before the Royal Rumble? How much, did they tell you before it was going to happen?
Yeah, about a month out.
Okay. Because you look like you were in incredible shape at the Rumble.
Thank you.
So what's that month look like leading up to the Rumble?
I was just doing what I've been doing before. The problem was, you know, nobody's seen me anywhere. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I've been like that for years now. But, you know, like I said, everyone thinks when you're on TV, you died or something. I'll be at the airport or something. Oh, man, you're still alive. Well, yeah. Because you're not on TV doesn't mean you just disappear somewhere.
And, well, I think with this hair, you can't disappear, right?
Well, that's true, yeah. As long as I can keep it.
Was there any, ever a point in time when you're like, maybe I don't need to have hair that looks like this?
Yeah, all the time, especially in the summer. Especially when I go back to Puerto Rico in that heat. Or, you know, living here in down in Houston where I live, it's pretty hot too.
Yeah. So a month of lead up to the Royal Rumble, did you think you'd just be working the Rumble match?
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I thought. I'd come back, you know, for, you know, like they do, bring the surprise entrance and, you know, have a good time and back to, I guess, being dead or whatever. I don't know.
back to being dead and people going, I can't believe that you're still alive. Yeah. But then they went, hey, you should actually come back and be part of Raw.
Yeah. They told me, I think, the night before which is, thank God, you know, so it allowed me to pack some more clothes. They said, yeah, do you mind doing Raw the next time? I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Did you think it would turn into something more than that?
I had no hopes. My only goal was to just go out there and put on a good showing. You know what I mean? Go out there in the best shape that I could be. And, you know, just remind people that, you know, I'm still around.
Is this the best shape you've ever been in?
Well, it depends. I mean, since when?
You tell me.
I've looked like this for the past 10 years.
Okay, so this might be the best WWE shape you've ever been in.
Probably. I'm assuming. Yeah. Well, especially the way people say it. Because the way they say it is like, it's not even what they say, it's the tone. Oh, man, you look great. What does that mean? What did I look like before, you know? No, I'm just saying. All right, well.
Yeah, I'm just saying you look great today. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Was it when you left WWE, did you just have more time to actually put time into going to the gym?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I had a lot more free time. And, you know, I wanted to do something different, you know, dedicate myself to something else. You know, and, of course, I had Chris Masters guiding me. He always gave me good training information. So, yeah, I just took that and ran with it.
Here, let's switch mics here.
Yeah, I was going to say, your mic is...
I'll hold the mic because you're going to be talking more than me anyway.
This one works. All right.
Yeah, we're good.
This is good.
Yeah, Chris Masters is just a giant of a human being. I don't know if everyone knows how close you guys are.
I think they do.
Yeah?
I remember the other day somebody said, how's everything at NWA? How long have you been there? I said, I haven't been to NWA. Well, is it Masters there? I go, yeah. Well, I thought because he's there, you're there. I said, no, man. We're two different people, you know what I mean? So
You look slightly different from Chris Masters.
Yeah, a lot different than Masters, but yeah.
Yeah. What's your best Chris Masters story?
My best Chris Masters story?
I mean, you traveled with him for years.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any he'd like me to tell. The only stories I have is when he comes to my house, he just empties out my fridge.
To be expected, right?
To be expected, yeah.
Yeah.
So
if we take this all the way back, you grew up in a family where your father is a very well-known wrestler. As you're growing up, is it just expected that Junior is going to be a wrestler too?
I kind of think that now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people ask me, like, well, what would you do if you weren't a wrestler? I really don't know. I don't think I had a choice but to become a wrestler. Because all my jobs have been wrestling related.
Right.
I started, you know, in the canteen there, like selling food and drinks. Then I was the beer hawker. I'd go around, you know, selling beer. Then I became the cameraman. Then I was part of the ring crew. And then eventually I just graduated to wrestler.
But the fact that you have done all of those jobs must give you such a greater appreciation for everything that goes on inside of here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, just seeing it as a kid, what it takes, you know, learning, just learning how everything works, you know, behind the scenes and, you know, how the boys are, you know, and how the politics and all that work. You learn to appreciate and understand everything from a young age.
So are you 4 years old and you want to be a pro wrestler?
No, I was even 14 years. I didn't think about being a wrestler. Just like I said, it just kind of happened. I don't even know if I had even time to think about it. It just evolved into being a wrestler.
Sounds like it was like osmosis. You were just around it enough.
That it pretty much it sucked me in. And here we are. How many years later? Well, yeah, we don't want to count the years, but yeah, it's been a lot of years since.
You don't even know how many years?
I do, I just don't want to say it.
Does anyone know out here? Yeah. So wait, when did you make the decision to actually step in the ring?
What's that?
When did you make the decision to actually step in the ring and start training?
I didn't. They made that decision for me. Yeah, I was like the cameraman.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, we need you for this angle. What do you mean? Well, we need you to wrestle. You know, all promoters are. We need you to wrestle one time.
Yeah.
All right. And then... one turned into two. The two turned into 2 years, and then you know,
however many years.
However many years after,
saying
yeah.
The number, yeah.
It's in the 20s,
which is incredible.
Yeah,
I think that deserves a round of applause. I mean, my goodness, and you're still healthy too.
On the outside, yeah.
As you sit here right now, though, 20 plus year career, is there anything on you that hurts?
Everything, pretty much, yeah. But you know, it's like I said, it's what I signed up for. I knew it from the beginning. You know, like I said, from seeing it at a young age, seeing all those guys walk around. Yeah. You know, like they were 80 years old and, you know.
And they're like 40 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I said, well, I'm assuming that's how it's going to end. But, you know, it is what it is.
What do you think that you've done in the latter part of your career that's kept you as healthy as you've been?
I call it Shakespeare. I do a lot more Shakespeare now, which is understanding more about the, I guess, you know, the entertainment and not just the work. You know what I mean? Just because you're not doing a bunch of things doesn't mean you're not working. You know what I mean? There's other ways to, like we call it in our business, work.
Yeah. So is it more of like taking less bumps, but doing...
It's more of working harder in different ways. without taking bumps. You know what I mean?
Huh.
But you put, you know, you put, you, whatever, you know, you might not do bumps, but you put more work into this. And sometimes, you know, it's more exhausting doing, you know, the, what I call the Shakespeare aspect than actually taking bumps.
I love that you call it the Shakespeare.
Well, that's a Booker T term. He would.
Is that something you learned from Booker T?
That word, yeah. Just calling it Shakespeare. I got it from him, yeah.
Huh. So what point in your career did you go, all right, I need to start doing more of that to save my body?
When you get older, and you know, and that's when every wrestler learns about that.
But I feel like not every wrestler comes to terms with the fact that they're older.
No, your body lets you know. You know what I mean? Your body lets you know. Yeah, this, I think this business is one of those things where your body lets you know you're not young anymore.
Yeah. How long into training until WWE started taking notice of what you were doing?
What's that?
How long into your career till WWE started taking notice and went, you know, this is someone we should have our eye on, someone we should sign?
Oh, I was about 5 years in, mm-hmm. working in Puerto Rico. I think it was Bruce Pritchard that they sent him down to. There was another competing company with my dad. They sent him to scout those guys. And according to the story is that he was watching TV before the show, and my dad's show was on, and he saw me, and then he went back and recommended me. And then about 2 months later, I think they called my dad and asked me to go to, I think it was North Carolina, South Carolina for a dark match. And then from there, I worked. My first dark match was with Tommy Dreamer.
Wow.
Then I worked Jamie Noble. And then, yeah, after my first match, they kind of said, we want to sign you. And a couple months later, they sent me over to Louisville, to OVW.
Wow. Is there like a piece of advice that your dad gave you early on? In the wrestling business? In the wrestling business, yeah, that's all, exactly.
Yeah,
it's turned to me. Yeah. That's kind of stuck with you?
Yeah, he just, you know, just how to, what's called, you know, like just have common sense, keep your mouth shut, you know what I mean? And just, you know, oh, especially the main thing actually that stuck with me is in Puerto Rico, we have what's called island time, which means like, let's say you have a meeting, is at 3, it means around 3 o'clock, start thinking about getting there. And this is like big power meetings, you know, big like banks and businesses, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
They say when you go there, they mean, when they say 3 o'clock, they mean be there at 3 o'clock. So, and sure enough, yeah, I learned that. You have to be there. You guys mean the actual.
And you're saying island time is 3 o'clock. I'll get there at.
No, it's three-ish.
Three-ish. A time that begins with a three.
Yeah. So 3 minutes, you know, start thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Start thinking about it.
Thinking about getting to it. Yeah. So that was one thing that stuck with me. It's a good thing I did because it's, you know, that's the way it works here.
Yeah. So basically show up on time.
Right.
And that's, I mean, in WWE, you have a call time. You need to be there.
Yeah, you need to be there on time, exactly.
Or else you get fined, isn't that right?
Right, or even showing up to, you know, for practice and stuff. When we're in OVW, if you were 2 minutes late, you know, you have to do extra drills or, you know, they chew you out. So, yeah,
so always be on time. If that's advice from your dad, Shakespeare's the advice from Booker T.
Right.
What's just the wrestling advice that has stuck with you the most?
That stuck with me the most? Probably the Shakespeare stuff, I think. You know, just learn how to protect your body. Protect your body without being lazy. That's the main thing. People confuse take care of your body and being lazy is two different things.
When you were coming up in OVW and you were about to debut in WWE, this was going to be a completely different gimmick than what we ended up seeing on WWE. Wasn't this going to be something with Rico Constantine?
Apparently, that's the story. I don't know. I hear that, but that was above my pay grade at that time.
This was never pitched to you, though?
I don't think it was ever pitched. I don't know. This was years ago, so maybe it was, but I don't remember. I just remember the thing was that I used to shave my head. So when I got to OVW, I showed up, and everybody was bald. So I was like, all right, I better do something different. So I just started to grow my hair, and then I got lazy, and then it just turned into this. And then, you know, you look around, and say, oh, man, you know, nobody has hair like this. I got something here.
Yeah,
and I just kind of rolled with it.
This has now become your trademark.
Pretty much. The hair and the apples, my gimmick, pretty much.
Yeah,
that's
well, how'd the,
that's
apple, all I got. How'd the apples come around?
The apple was, actually, it's funny because I used to get a lot of, they say, oh, you're a Razor Ramon ripoff. I was like, I don't know nothing like Razor Ramon. I don't know where people get that from. And then I was at the Hall of Fame for my dad, but right before him, they inducted Razor Ramon. And they're showing some of his vignettes. I was like, oh my God, my vignettes are all ripoffs of his old vignettes. And then in one of those, he was eating something. And he spat at some guy, whatever. Then, you know, fast forward to mine, was I'm at a fruit stand, and I grab an apple, and I spit in the vendor's face.
Yeah.
And I guess Vid saw that after. He goes, oh, I love it. I want you to keep on doing it. I was like, all right, I'm the one spinning the apple? Yeah, go for it, man.
I think
I'll do as many times as you want.
I think Razor had an apple, right? Yeah.
Was it an apple or was it? It was an apple. Well, there you go. See that? It was an exact ripoff then. There you go.
It's like the same person wrote the vignettes for him that wrote them for you.
Apparently, yeah.
Wow. But it wasn't just having an apple and spitting an apple. It had a catchphrase that went along with it. How long till that became a thing?
I think that was another Vince idea. Yes, because he always said, like, yeah, you're calm, you're laid back, you're cool. Everything you do is cool. I'm like, all right. Because, he wants to, like, cool. All right, well, that's not much of a catchphrase, but okay, I'll go with it. And sure enough, yeah.
But it was, I spit in the face, people.
I get that all the time. People say a catchphrase. I don't have a catchphrase. Would you have a spit in the face? All right, I guess that's my catchphrase.
Spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Apparently, yeah. That's my catchphrase now, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is it not?
I guess it is. No, everybody tells me it is.
Yeah.
It's always been that, yeah.
It is now.
They tell me all the time, yeah.
I mean, it's at the start of your entrance theme.
Yeah, no, it is. But I just thought it was just my intro. I didn't think it was a catchphrase. But yeah, apparently that's my catchphrase.
When that was at the start of your intro for your entrance theme, did you sit in like a recording studio and say that like 100 times?
I said a whole bunch of different lines. They said, all right, just say this or come up with this. Or, you say some lines. And then from there, it kind of just took different things.
So there were different lines.
They're different lines,
not just different
reads.
You
listen to the song, there's like different lines in Spanish and stuff within the song.
It wasn't like you were sitting there going, I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
No.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
I think it was just one line. I just said it that way. And then they added the spit to it. And I think they said, okay, now grab the apple and just spit it. I want to go record it. All right.
Was there anyone that was like, I know this is your gimmick, man, but please don't spit in my face?
No, man. I haven't had, I'm sure, not to my face or behind whatever. But yeah, nobody's ever, that's the cool thing about the wrestling business, man. They ask you to do all kind of weird stuff and, that's what it is. That's what we got to do. Right? That's what we do.
Yeah, in no other business would it be acceptable to be doing that.
Right, exactly. No other business you say, hello, okay, so this guy's going to spit on your face. He's going, what? But no, I was like, they just said, yeah, okay, cool. And then just walk away.
Was there ever something that was pitched to you that you went, I don't know if this is for me?
That happens all the time. But, you just got to, like, that's why you got to speak up. That's why, you see guys with bad gimmicks because they didn't say anything. But, at the same time, it can be pretty intimidating. But at the same time, you got to think, man.
Yeah.
If you can't do it, don't go with it because it's not going to turn out well.
What would you say is the thing, like, when you're at a convention like this, what's the thing that most fans would come up to you and ask you about?
Believe it or not, I get a lot. They go, hey, how much do you charge to spit in my face? I was like, why would you want that?
Well, how much do you charge for something?
I don't do it. No, I just, I think that could be a lawsuit anyway. So I don't even.
Well, especially with COVID. Yeah.
Right. Especially now with COVID. Yeah. But I don't understand why you'd want anybody to do that. You know what I mean?
Do you ever sign apples?
I sign apples. Yeah. All the time.
That doesn't seem like a great
thing. I tell that too. It's going to rot in like 3 days. But like, you sign anyway. All right. But some people are smart and they'll bring me like a fake apple. And then that's better.
That's
that
makes much smarter.
Sense.
Yeah.
Much better. Yeah.
Is there a certain storyline that people always want to ask you about?
Well, the Cena stabbing, of course. They always ask that. I think it ended up turning out that we didn't stab him. Something happened. I think somebody else did. I forgot how it all ended. that's the main one is the Cena.
Yeah, you tried to kill John Cena.
Apparently I tried to kill him. But then I think it was Jesus that ended up trying to kill him. I don't know. But anyway, I ended up being innocent.
The fact that you debuted against Cena, won the U.S. title, I mean, that's also a pretty great way to come in.
Yeah. I don't think you can ask for a better debut than that.
Yeah. Did you know about that leading up to it? Did you know how you were going to come in?
Yeah, I think I did, but maybe like a couple of days before. I don't think. This is when they started the whole, trying to keep stuff from everybody.
Oh, my gosh. There we go. Sometimes when I talk, you can hear. There we go. So they're trying to keep from the dirt sheets is what you're saying.
Right, yeah. And not name dirty, just keep it from the boys, too.
Oh, really?
This was like the first, what do you call it? I was telling the story the other day about the first cashing in of the, what's it
Money
called?
In the Bank?
Money in the Bank with Edge. I remember it was me and Cena at the end. And I and then I'll get you with a roll-up. I said, wait a minute, that's not the way to end. We've done all this thing. No, it's going to be cool. I said, I think we should do something else, man. Why don't you, let's do that. And, I was like, all right, that's what you guys want to do. Sure enough, the roll-up happens. 1, 2, 3, Edge's music, and I'm just looking at, okay.
It all makes sense now, yeah.
I see, now it makes sense, yeah. Now the roll-up is actually the perfect kind of finish for what's going to happen next.
So obviously there's a tremendous amount of upside to debuting, winning the U.S. title. I mean, that's an incredible debut that no one will forget. Is there also not a lot of downside because it's tough to continue to build from such a huge debut?
Yeah, not only that is, people start looking at you like, oh, who's this guy? You know what I mean? Who's this guy they're giving this big push to? You know
right.
what I mean? But I was always confident I could handle myself. So I didn't worry about it too much. And also I didn't, my head didn't get too big because I also knew, okay, it's probably what everybody's thinking.
And people maybe didn't say it to you backstage, but did you feel that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up in this, you know what I mean? I know the boys, you know what I mean? I could tell what's going on.
Well, not only do you win the U.S. title in your debut match, then you get paired with Trish Stratus, you get paired with Torrey Wilson.
I didn't like any of that because Carlito was never, that's what I think everything started going downhill because Carlito was always the guy that talked about having all these girls but never got the girl, you know what I mean? And then when he gets the girl, it's like, that's not him, you know what I mean? He's the guy that brags about being all these girls and then, you know, these girls, you talk to them and they, you know, it's the worst thing imaginable, you know what I mean? They can't stand them. But I don't know, they turned me into some of a ladies' man for some reason.
So you're saying that wasn't true to your character?
No, I was just the opposite. Hmm. Carlito wasn't a ladies' man.
But did you not enjoy, like, your screen time with Torrey or Trish?
They're great friends and stuff. But, yeah, at the same time, I'm thinking, like, this is not the best thing for my character.
Yeah, but is there anything you can do at that point?
No, because, you know, you're young and stuff. So, yeah, I should have spoken out more. But, you know, at that point, I was just starting, you know, you just, like I said, you just keep your mouth shut and do what they tell you.
When you look back at your entire career, what's the standout for you?
The standout?
Yeah.
I think the standout was just probably behind the scenes. Just like, you know, they knew me to be the guy that would, you know, I guess didn't take any nonsense, you know what I mean? And stood up for himself. It's kind of what, you know, it also gets labeled as the troublemaker or whatever. But I always just thought, you know, I just spoke up and, you know, spoke my mind.
Did you actually get in trouble for that?
All the time. Towards the end, yeah, all the time.
You laugh about it now.
All the time. Well, yeah, what are you going to do now? You know what I mean?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Did you just stop caring? Is that what it is?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is there a specific one?
No, it's just, you know, towards the last couple of years, you know, I was out of control those last couple of years.
Would you say you're more in control now?
Yeah, now I'm totally zen, totally in control now, totally, you know, got nothing but positive vibes. But like, oh, you know, I get all the time, like, who would you spit on or whatever? Who do you hate? Who, you know, they try to get you tucked dirty. I was like, I got no beef with anybody, no heat with anybody. And just, I wish everyone the best.
Is this like a conscious thing that you did in the last 5 or 10 years?
Maybe yeah.
Meditation,
yeah,
just yoga, whatever it happens to be, to make you more zen?
Yeah, just, you know, just find a way to get rid of the anger and, you know, and then, you know, learn that life's a lot more than about, you know, certain worrying about silly things, you know what I mean? And just kind of enjoy it.
It's also the idea of, like, you can only control what you can control.
Right, exactly.
And there's no point in freaking out about something that you have zero control over.
Right. That's the main thing I do now is I don't waste, it's called wasted energy. I don't waste my time on stuff I can't control.
Does the first, like, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of your day look like you have a morning routine with this type of stuff?
No, you mean like meditate and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't do any of that either.
You've just become zen.
I've just become zen, yeah. I'm an all day zen guy.
Is it from reading certain books?
No, just
a conscious decision.
Be positive and be, you know, and let things go.
When did this happen? This is amazing.
This was a couple of years back. But like I said, like 5 or 6 years, I think, something like
that. Did something happen that you went, okay, it's time for me to?
Yeah, I just got tired of being angry all the time. It was exhausting. So, you know what? What am I so angry about?
I don't know. How can a guy that's this laid back, this cool, be also angry?
I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't even think about it. I just forgot about all that, too. I just thought, you know what? Just be positive, man.
Put yeah.
Good things out there.
Is there anything you learned from your time in WWE, specifically from Vince McMahon?
Yeah, he is a genius. You know what I mean? He has a lot of great ideas. I think, you know, wrestling owes him a lot. Just learn how to be, you know, just learn how the business side works. You know what I mean? It's cool to be, you know, I like what I like about him and Stephanie's the same way is, you know, they're just great business people that, you know, they're likable, whatever, and they'll, you know, be friendly and stuff. But at the same time, if it's not good for business, they'll cut things off and won't hesitate for a second, which is the way you got to be.
Which is also very difficult because I think it's hard to look at things from just a business standpoint when it feels very personal sometimes.
Yeah, but sometimes you gotta, you know, separate the personal from the business.
Yeah. What have you been up to? Like, you know, you see people running to airports and think that, you know, you're dead because they haven't seen you on WWE. What are you up to these days?
I've just been doing, you know, doing these shows, doing these conventions and stuff, working on my NBA 2K. There we go.
That's the biggest pop of the night.
Yeah, the biggest pop. Yeah. They know. They understand.
Who's your team?
Man, I'm a bandwagoner. Like I said, yeah, when Puerto Rico comes with a team, I'll be loyal. You know what I mean? But
in 2K.
The answer to that was
always... Oh, yeah.
Well, I do like Luka. I do like Luka a lot.
In 2K, who do you play with?
Right now, I think I play with the Nets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like lukewarm.
And the crazy thing is I hated Harden, but like since last year. But all of a sudden, like, he's done the Nets now, so now I have no shame. I don't care.
So NBA 2K Pro, pretty much, is what you're saying.
I'm working on it. Gave me to pay. They find a way to pay me for that, and I'm working on it.
I think that's a possibility.
It might be, but I think it's like these little 12-year-olds, right? They can just
kill
everybody.
They have nothing but time.
They have nothing but time. Yeah, exactly.
What's game number two for you?
Game number two?
Like, if 2K is the number one game.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I think it's 2K. That's it. I haven't played that one.
Is basketball the sport you watch the most too?
Basketball, football, and then baseball in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then hockey, I can't.
Oh, that hurts me. I'm a Canadian.
Can't get into it. Yeah. Well, I'm half Canadian, but that's what I tried to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe in person, because like baseball is great in person.
Baseball
goes by fast.
Baseball's a great hangout. Like,
yeah.
You know, me and you go, we have a beer, we eat a hot dog.
$20 beer, but,
but the
$50 hot dog.
But the beers at the games hit you a lot harder.
Yeah.
There's something about
that. I think it's the sun on you, maybe.
That draft beer, I don't know. Yeah, who is your football team?
Football team is the Chiefs, too.
Oh, this is a mixed reaction here. I think you were supposed to say the Cowboys.
Oh, no, I don't like the Cowboys.
Let's see how this gets, what the reaction is here. I'm a Browns fan.
Ooh. You got one over there.
Okay, I'm a heel for everybody else, though. Oh. No. I mean, I should at least get some sympathy for the Browns.
Any Seahawks fans? One
Seahawks fan.
One Seahawks fan. One and a half.
Baseball team?
Baseball. Actually, the Houston's the Astros are the only Houston team I like.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. The Astros.
That's
yeah.
Okay.
And hockey?
Hockey. The Rangers. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Rangers.
New York Rangers. The Toronto Maple Leafs. They're my team. Okay. Thank you.
Actually, I gotta go for my mom's team. So. I'll choose the Maple Leafs.
Do you feel like you have any ties to Canada?
Yeah, I tell people I call kayfabe Canadian. It's like, you know, Canadian, but are you? You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I have family there. I've visited family there. I've gone there from time to time.
Where are they? What city?
Oakville?
Yes.
Okay.
I grew up like 40 minutes from there.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of my family's there. A lot of it is Ottawa. Let me see where else.
Okay.
So yeah, I got ties there, and I've spent Christmases and stuff there. So
you kayfabe Canadian. You're Canadian when it's convenient,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when I go over there, I'll do the cheap pop and tell them I'm half Canadian, like you guys.
Yeah, I guess that's it. So, working some indie shows, playing a lot of 2K, basically it.
Yeah.
No.
Training.
Training more than look at the size of your arms.
Training. Jeez. Yes, that's about it.
I mean, looking better than ever.
Oh, thank you.
It's true.
I don't like your tone now.
Oh, all right. Yeah, man, you're looking really good. Yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're going to open this up for Q&As. Does anybody in the audience have some questions here? We'll start right over here.
Okay.
Ooh, a preference for an apple.
I get that all the time. Yeah. Do you like the green ones? Yeah. I don't care. They all work the same.
It's a good question.
They all spit fine.
Okay. Does one look better on camera?
No. It just depends on how you chew
okay.
them.
Okay. I'll repeat the questions back so everybody can hear it here. Yes.
Hey, you have me a Chiefs, but I'm a Yankees fan, so you lost that answer. Have you ever worked for New Japan? If you haven't, would you consider working for New Japan? And who would you want to work?
Have you ever worked for New Japan? If you haven't, who would you like to work there?
I've never worked for New Japan, actually. I'd love to work for New Japan. And, you know, like I said, I get asked all the time, like, what's your dream match? Or people say, nah, I mean, I don't know, it's my job. I'm whoever's in front of me, that's where I want to work. You know what I mean? Or whoever's the biggest payday, that's where I want to wrestle.
What about a dream match of someone who maybe isn't with us anymore?
Oh, probably a Macho Man. It's like, I don't think
Yeah,
it's probably one guy. I don't think I never met him.
Yeah.
But it's only like one probably guy that I never met. But
okay. What's your favorite match that you've ever worked?
My favorite match? I just figured that. I get that asked all the time. It was, I think it was the WrestleMania with my brother and I against Miz and Morrison. Just because, you know, that's every kid's dream is, you know, be you and your brother in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then winning tag champs.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
All right, more questions? Yes, sir.
Growing up,
who is your idol? Who is your biggest influence?
Yeah, I get that. I get that asked a lot. I didn't have a certain. Yeah, of course you take stuff from different people, but I always wanted to be the first me. I never wanted to be the next anybody. The least of all, my dad. I wanted to be totally different from what my dad was. And yeah, you know, you see guys from different places, especially in Puerto Rico, where you know, it's a melting pot. You see guys from Japan, guys from Mexico, guys from the States. So I just kind of like took a little bit of what I like from different people, and I just wanted to make my own.
Yeah, and you have.
I believe
for
I have
20 plus years
for better or for worse.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Ooh, that's good. If you were to feud with anyone in WWE and it was a champion, who would it be?
Yeah, it'd be nice to go back. Definitely probably Bobby Lashley. I'd whoop him easy. You know what I mean?
He'd whoop him easy.
I've seen him. He's not that big.
Yeah.
He's not that strong.
All right, Carlito versus... Yeah, actually, this probably stretches a little bit. Yes, here we go. Come over here. This makes way more sense to be repeating the question.
What was your reaction when you found out when you were first in WWE, the storyline with John Cena? What was your first reaction when they told you you were going to be out in the ring with John Cena?
I was nervous for a little bit, of course, but also, you know, it's I like it when what do you call it? We got no choice, you know. It's you got to go out there and perform, so. It kind of that when you realize it's like that, it kind of takes the pressure off you, because like you know, number one, I said I'm not going back to Puerto Rico, and number two, I said, all right, this is what I got to do. I'm not going to fail in front of a live audience. So you kind of just lose those nerves and just do what you do.
John must have also been hyper aware of how big that moment was for you.
Yeah, he was totally cool. He was like, he was actually too nice, which is funny because. I thought he ribbed me. I thought he was tricking me because he was just you met John, right? He's just one of the nicest guys.
So nice, yeah.
You'll meet. And the first thing we do is right when we lock up, he kicks me in the stomach. And I couldn't breathe. I was like, okay, wait a minute. This must be like the, you know, welcome to the big leagues rookie type of thing. But no, it's just the way he was at first. Yeah, when he first started, he would just kill you.
Wow.
But yeah, but since then, he's gotten so much better. But those first... couple of matches, boy. You know, he's a big boy too.
He's big, yeah.
When he hits you, he hits you.
Got any other questions here? Oh, all the way in the back. Why don't you come over here? Yeah. And then we can say it into the mic here. He's hustling over here. This is great. In fact, if you have a question, this will probably make things easier. If you have a question, why don't we line up here and we'll get right to it.
Favorite city to wrestle in.
Favorite city to wrestle in. I guess you could have yelled that from the back of the room, but thank you.
Favorite city? I don't know. It's a good. It's a good question. It's been,
it's your hometown.
Yeah, that's probably one of the best places to wrestle. It's just because those, they're crazy and they're pretty wild.
WWE doesn't get to travel to Puerto Rico often either.
No, not often. Once a year, maybe. I think.
So when it's there, it must be like
they're going back now in I think October.
Oh, that's exciting!
They go back, which first time in I don't know how many years.
You should probably be there.
I should, but yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Just saying, putting that out into the world.
I don't book these things. So.
Yeah. Do we have any other questions from anyone? If you asked a question, you can ask another one. Hold on. You didn't ask your question in the mic, so here we go.
I know you said that you didn't know what you wanted to do other than wrestle. Do you have any dreams or anything that you have set aside for when you retire? Like spending time with kids, going on certain vacations, What do you dream about when you retire?
I haven't thought that far ahead yet. Yeah, I don't think like that. And I mean, because tomorrow's not promised, so I don't. Right now, I'm focused on wrestling, and from there, we'll see.
Day to day,
day to day, right? Yeah, and then when my body tells me, okay, that's not happening anymore, then I'll figure out what else to do.
How many more years do you think your body's telling you have?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes it tells me I got 10 more. Sometimes it tells me I got 10 more minutes. So I don't. I don't know. I'm hoping for a couple more years.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this. I'm so glad. It was so great to be able to sit down with you in person. Ladies and gentlemen, Carlito.
Well, there we go. That is the first interview in front of a crowd in 2021. That's now the fifth one that we've done. In total, we did 3 last year at the Independent Wrestling Expo. That was with Jake the Snake Roberts, Jazz, and Gangrel. The first one we ever did was at the All Out Side Party that was hosted by Pro Wrestling Tees in Chicago. That was 2019. That was with Colt Cabana. But the plan is to do more, to do many more of these. So if you're not already following me on Instagram or Twitter, I'm at Chris Van Vliet. I'll give you all of the updates on there, as well as a sneak peek at some of the interviews that we have coming up and just other things that are going on in my life, like the fact that I was finally back home in Canada to see my parents for the first time since December of 2019. It had been 20 months since I had seen my parents because of all the restrictions. So it was so nice to see them. Speaking of Instagram, speaking of Twitter, you can find Carlito. He's at LitoColone279 on Twitter and Instagram. And share this episode with somebody that you know will like to snap a screenshot, tag me, tag Carlito, so we can share it out to everybody. And I didn't mean to do that. This quote is actually from Cher, like Cher the singer. It's such a great quote. I didn't mean to this was not a planned segue to say, oh, share it out. Here's a quote from Cher. But I will leave you with this as I giggle to myself about that. Until you're ready to look foolish, you'll never have the possibility of being great. Until you're ready to look foolish, you'll never have the possibility of being great. Be great, be grateful. We'll see you on the next one for some more insight.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.